Okay. Good morning. We're going to call this meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency's Regional Plan Implementation Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, July 27th, 2022, and it's now 9:21. The first item on the agenda is a roll call to determine the quorum. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Alding? Here. Mr. Friedrich?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Maria. Now I'll go over the remote and in-person meeting rules for the day. For members of the public who are joining us remotely to observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov and under the calendar heading, click on Governing Board-Hybrid Meeting for July 27th, 2022. There you'll find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address the committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking the raise hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you use the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, that would be you, John. If you wish to speak, please also raise your hand in Zoom. You'll find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or have sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would like to ask that all remote members turn on their cameras if they're able. And Cindy, you have it on so I can see that John's on. And members of the public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment and you'll be called to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment, speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. And if you're viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. The next item is the approval of the agenda. John?
No changes, Mr. Chair.
Do we have a change on item number 3?
You were going to address
regarding
the agenda is not going to change, but we're going to make a presentation at the beginning of it that will address what actions the board may or may not, or the committee may or may not want
okay.
to take.
That's what I also want a clarification. Okay, thank you. So with no changes in the agenda, I will deem the agenda approved as posted. And so we have also item number 2, we have a set of minutes from April 27th, 2022 on page 15 of our packet. Do any members want to make any changes to those minutes? Oh, well, so I'll assume that these minutes are solid. All those in favor or you want to make a motion to?
Sure. I make a motion to approve the minutes from the RPIC meeting of April 27th, 2022 as presented.
All right. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any objections? Any abstentions? Okay. So that brings us to item number 3, which is discussion and I'll say possible action recommendation for approval of amendments to the Tourist Core Area Plan Mixed Use District regarding parcel 029-441-024, City of South Lake Tahoe. This item can be found in your packet at page 105. As a reminder to the public, after public board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in person to be called on or in Zoom to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. And I'll pass this on now to you, John.
Jen Self.
Jen Self, okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Jennifer Self, Principal Planner with TRPA. Thanks for having us this morning. I'm also joined by John Hitchcock with the City of South Lake Tahoe. And there is Kara Teal or Lou Feldman available today as well, representing the private property owner associated with this item. So the purpose of today's discussion is to present to you and receive your input on potential land use amendments to the Tourist Core Area Plan within the city. Area plans are a component of the regional plan and prescribe the local zoning, density, goals and policies, and specific development guidelines for the area. Area plans must be found in conformance with the Lake Tahoe Regional Plan. These amendments are typically first approved and adopted by the local jurisdiction, and then they go through the TRPA bodies, and then finally approved and adopted by the TRPA Governing Board. RPIC considers conformity of these local plans to our regional plan prior to that Governing Board consideration. So this particular amendment package includes a proposed land use zoning change, the local plan, the tourist core area plan, and then there's also a proposed project underneath that's spurring this amendment. Today's presentation is primarily focused on the conformity of the land use amendments. However, we know that you all will be interested in some of the project implications, so we'll brief you on that, those as well. It's important to know that the project, we will get into some of that in the discussion, is not before RPIC today. That would be actually submitted and reviewed by the city at a later date if this amendment package were approved, and the project would not come before TRPA for that approval. With this proposal, there's essentially two sets of considerations or issues that we're going to discuss today. There's the land use amendments, which we're considering for regional plan conformity, and then there's the project or the site itself. To the best of our knowledge, the land use amendments appear to be in conformity with the regional plan, and those issues have been resolved. However, it's come to our attention that there may still be issues with the project or the site that have not been reconciled. And it's our understanding that partners that have commented on the amendments, and those comments are included in your packet, those partners are amenable to the land use amendments if those project and site issues can be resolved and reconciled. So as presented in your packet, there are two proposed motions or actions for you all to consider today. Whether or not to recommend approval of the land use amendments to the governing board. However, in conversations with Chair Bill Yates, a couple of partners in the city, staff is actually suggesting that we potentially pull back on the action and treat this as an informational item today rather than an action item. However, RPIC does reserve the right. If you would prefer to move forward on action, you can certainly do that, and we have the motions ready for you today to consider. Again, kind of suggesting that we treat this as an informational item, just because at this time it's unclear to TRPA staff if all those site issues have actually been resolved, and they still may warrant some additional attention. So I'm going to go ahead and provide a brief overview of what this proposal actually is. I just want to provide you all with a little bit of a setup before we get into the discussion. And then I'm going to turn it over to John at the city, and he's going to go into a little bit more detail, as well as the process of how these amendments came forward and the process for working with the property owner and those that are interested in what's kind of transpiring on this project. So it looks like we've already gone to the next slide. So this is an overview of the actual proposal. Again, this is in reference to the tourist core area plan. That plan extends from state line, essentially where the casinos are on the south shore, sort of near where the dark purple is on this map that you see on the screen, extends along Highway 50, and then up Ski Run Boulevard. That's the arm you see on the screen shown in pink. The actual amendment area that we're going to be talking about today is shown in red, and it's located directly behind the Raleigh Shopping Center and close to the Heavenly Village Tourist Center. There's also, just to the east of this amendment area, is Van Sickle Bi-State Park. Just an update on kind of where we are in the status. So this amendment was initiated by an applicant in 2019 through the city. The city provided a notice of intent of a potential amendment to their area plan to TRPA at that time as well. And then the city has been working with the private property owner and partners over the last couple of years to try to reconcile potential concerns and work on that amendment package. To date, the item has been heard before the City Planning Commission, but the city has not taken official action on this just yet. We can go to the next slide. The amendment area, as we'll discuss, and John's going to go into more detail, include the two properties or parcels highlighted by a yellow box there on the screen. These are privately owned and have been merged. So now there's split zoning. One parcel shown in purple is in the tourist core mixed use area that allows a wide array of different land uses. And the other is zoned for recreation, shown in blue. And that is primarily for recreation and open space, conservation related uses. It also does allow some employee housing, residential uses. So the proposal that's actually before you today is to amend the existing zoning for the blue portion of the area shown by the yellow box. And the proposal is to change that from recreation to tourist center mixed use to allow for additional residential uses. The amendment would also add some additional policies to limit the types of uses that could be done on that blue portion of the property, and limit the density as well of what could be developed. I just want to point out in the today's discussion, you'll also hear some comments and information about an adjacent parcel that's shown on this map here in blue, and it's called out with APN ending in 003. There's some interest on that adjacent parcel as well because it is at the entrance to Van Sickle by State Park. I just want to highlight, although there's some discussion around that, that particular parcel is not included in the amendment package. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you. So as mentioned, there's really two sets of considerations or issues that have arisen from discussion about this potential amendment. There's one with the land use amendments, what we're considering for regional plan conformity. And then there's another set of issues or considerations regarding the actual project and the site itself. So again, I'll go over high-level overview, and John's going to talk more to these. To the best of our knowledge, the land use amendments do appear to be in conformity with the regional plan, and those issues have been resolved. Again, however, there still may be some reconciliation that needs to happen on the project or site considerations. Next slide. The amendments would change the permissible uses within the amendment area, again shown on the left map with the yellow box. This would change from recreation to tourist center mixed use to allow those additional residential units. And because this amendment is in somewhat of a quote unquote transition zone, so in the dark purple, that is the Heavenly Village, high density, high use tourist center. And then immediately to the east is essentially public lands and Van Sickle by State Park. Because it's in somewhat of this, again, quote unquote, transition zone, this proposal is limiting the density and also the types of uses that would be allowed in that amendment area. It's important to note that the amendments would only be applicable to the local city plan. There's no proposed changes to the regional plan, maps, boundaries, or policies there. The regional plan, at a very high level, regional scale, includes conceptual land use designations. And this particular area that we're discussing in the regional plan is actually designated as tourist, and it is included in a town center boundary. So no changes to the regional conceptual. This would just be a zoning change for the local plan. And this amendment does not include any changes to the design and development standards, water quality, SEZ protection, coverage, or anything to that nature as well. Next slide. So if the land use amendments were to move forward, again, there's some project and site considerations that have come up and some concerns. The private property owner does plan to develop the amendment area with 10 residential units. I apologize, it's somewhat hard to see on this map, but we're showing the amendment area in a light green box there. Roughly half of this amendment area is SEZ and could not be built upon, but he is potentially planning on 10 residential units within the area that's high capability. Four of those residential units have been previously approved by the city that front Montreal Boulevard, for the portion of the parcel that did not need a zoning change. So this slide summarizes some of those concerns and issues that have come up through for the project itself. John Hitchcock's going to go through these a little bit more. Again, these are specific to the project and site. There are some implications to regional plan implementation, such as the SEZ restoration of the site and what's going to happen there with the existing SEZ. And so let's see, I think now that's a high level overview. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to John Hitchcock, and he's going to go into a little bit more detail. And then we'll come back to RPIC to discuss next steps and whether or not we feel this is ripe to take action or if we want to just treat this as an informational item.
Thank you, Jen. Good morning, Chairman Yates and governing board members. For the record, John Hitchcock, City South Lake Tahoe. Can we go to the next? Thank you. So the item before you today is Jen introduces a proposed amendment to the tourist core area plan. Next slide, please. The current amendment right now was submitted by HVR Acquisitions LLC. To rezone a portion of parcel APN 029441024 from recreation tourist center mixed use. As Jen mentioned earlier, this particular portion of this parcel previously was a separate APN, but have subsequently been merged. The amendment would also limit the uses that are currently permissible in that recreation district to residential, linear public facilities, recreation uses, resource management, and open space uses. And also we would limit the density to 4 units per acre because it's somewhat of a transition zone located next to recreation and conservation type uses. The amendment, as Jen alluded to, would potentially allow for the development of a multifamily residential condominium project on the rezoned portion. Next slide. Here's a location map showing the subject parcel. The area that's bounded by yellow is the amendment itself, and the proposal is to rezone that blue portion right there, which is currently recreation, to a mixed-use district. Next slide, please. Currently right now, the recreation district currently allows a variety of uses related primarily to recreation uses like cross-country ski courses, day use areas, group facilities, riding and hiking trails, rural sports, snowmobile courses. It does allow certain residential uses such as employee housing and also single family dwelling as a caretaker residence. I did do some research on this parcel before it was converted into the State Line Ski Run Community Plan. They were previously zoned tourist accommodation and also did allow multifamily uses and single family uses and residential uses when this parcel was located in Planner Statement 089B. Subsequently, Planner Statement 089B was converted to the State Line Community Plan. At that time, the parcels then were designated as recreation uses. Subsequently, no proposals ever been received to develop the parcel as recreation use, most likely because of site constraints, as Jen alluded to. Next slide, please. Here's a map of the site, the portion that's to be rezoned, that over half of the parcel is stream environment zone, and obviously cannot be developed. And so this is likely why no project has come forward up to this date. Next slide, please. When HVR approached the city to propose amendment, their original proposal actually included rezoning actually two parcels. The portion that that we're discussing today, which is now part of the parcel that's adjacent to Montreal Road, and also the parcel that's adjacent to Van Sickle State Park. So that was the original amendment, and that was the amendment that we took to a public scoping meeting. Next slide, please. So we conducted a public scoping meeting on the previous proposal, which included rezoning two parcels. And we received public comments from the California Tile Conservancy, Nevada Division of Parks and Recreation, the Leech Lake Tile, and the public. And the issues that were raised during that public comment period had related to impacts to the adjacent restored stream environment zone and stream environment zone habitat, potential management conflicts with public adjacent public lands, and potential encroachment and storage of equipment on public lands, potential scenic character impacts to Van Sickle State Park, and then change in the recreation character of this overall neighborhood, and potential parking impacts to Van Sickle State Park. As a result of that scoping meeting, the applicant amended the project description to remove the parcel adjacent to Van Sickle from the amendment itself, and then also made other changes to respond to the concerns that we heard from our partners and from the public, to limit the amendment just to that portion adjacent to what we refer to as the Old Colony Inn site, and to reduce the density down in order to maintain the overall recreation character, and also limit the type of uses that would be permitted. Next slide, please. The city did, we did prepare an initial study. We did complete tribal consultation. We did not get any response from the affected tribes. And we prepared initial study neg deck. We did mail affected property owners within 300 feet of the amendment area. And we circulated an initial study between April 1st, 2020 through May 19, 2022. That initial study concluded two potential significant impacts to the to public service and recreation. One is potential of any project in the future that potentially would encroach on public lands. And the other was potential creation and form of trails on restored stream environment zones or on public lands. And the initial study concluded that mitigation measure was required to mitigate these potential impacts. And the mitigation measure is a project level condition to require any future project that does move forward on the parcels to install a 6-foot fence, barbed wire fence around the project area to deter encroachment on the stream and on the stream environment. So, next slide, please. During the circulation period, we did receive additional comments on the CEQA environment itself from California Tile Conservancy and from the League to Save Lake Tahoe. They requested that that a mitigation measure to construct a fence around the subject parcel and the parcel adjacent to Van Sickle be included in the initial study itself. And then they also requested a mitigation measure requiring that SEZ be restored to a functioning state, monitored and maintained. So this would be the stream environment zone that's on the colony in sight. And also a mitigation measure designating the adjacent parcel to Van Sickle State Park as recreation open space, and also a mitigation measure for the applicant to relinquish the lane access easement and for the CTC to acquire APN 029-441-011. This is the parcel that's adjacent to Van Sickle, or relinquish a portion containing the park improvements for praise value. The mitigation measure requiring, I should note that the adjacent parcel of Van Sickle is not part of this amendment. And from the city's perspective, we would have to consult with our legal counsel if there's a nexus to require that fence to be constructed on a parcel that's not included in this amendment itself. Now, that said, the city does have a current application in. The applicant is interested in constructing a fence around both of his parcels to deter encroachment. Currently, he's having issues with trespassing on the property and damaging the SEZ that's on those two parcels. The mitigation measure requiring SEZ to be restored to functioning state, I think we can all agree, the city, TRPA, the CTC, and the league, that SEZ that was restored previously is currently not restored as a functioning SEZ, and that it should be restored in the future. But from the city's perspective, it would seem that this would make sense as a project level condition rather than a mitigation measure as part of this land use zoning amendment. The mitigation measure to designate the adjacent parcel of Van Sickle to recreation open space. Again, we would have to consult with our legal counsel if there's a nexus to require this type of mitigation. But it should be noted that particular parcel is already zoned recreation, and any type of uses that are proposed there would have to be consistent with the recreation permissible uses that are allowed on that particular parcel. The mitigation measure for relinquishing the parcel that's adjacent to Van Sickle, again, the city is concerned with the nexus issue because this particular parcel is not included as part of the proposed amendment that is before you today. Next slide, please. There was also questions from the league concerning the colony insight and the requirement to retire and restore the SEZ restoration. That SEZ restoration was completed and was approved as part of the city's action. We approved the transfer of TAUs off that parcel to another project. However, the requirements for the SEZ restoration itself is a TRPA function, and TRPA had a separate approval process that required any applicant transferring TAUs off of a sensitive site to required to transfer those TAUs consistent with the TRPA transfer provisions, which requires removal of the TAUs around site and also deed restriction of the site to keep it in its natural state. The other comment we received is the parcel that's identified for rezoning is listed as conservation and city general plan. Actually, this is incorrect. The parcel has always been part of the tourist corridor plan and has been zoned recreation from the very beginning when it was a ski run community plan and then when we adopted the tourist corridor area plan. We also received comments that the city failed to consider aesthetic and character impacts to Van Sickle State Park and failed to consider impacts to SEZ habitat. As we concluded in the initial study, the city did evaluate the impacts of aesthetic impacts and character impacts of Van Sickle State Park. Thus, we have mitigation measures any proposed project in the future is required to be developed to meet the design standards of the tourist corridor plan, which is designed to require development to be designed in a manner that's consistent with overall natural appearing landscape. And on top of that, if you go to the next slide, you can see the project site, which is located south of Van Sickle State Park. And you'll notice that there's existing mature vegetation between Van Sickle State Park, as well as vegetation that is located in the SEZ portion of the subject parcels, which would screen any potential project in the future. So we don't believe that there is an impact to aesthetics or to Van Sickle State Park or to the overall character of this neighborhood. And then in terms of our failure to consider impacts to SEZ and SEZ habitat, we did consider those impacts in initial study, and the initial study concluded that there is the potential for an impact. And this, we adopted a mitigation measure requiring the installation of a wrought iron fence that would impede encroachment into that stream environment. So, and that concludes my presentation, and I can respond to any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, both of you. It was very informative. And any questions? Jim. Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. I have a question just clarifying, and I do have several comments. I can wait till other clarifying questions. You know, John, in your presentation regarding comments, there was a lot of references to a parcel that was 441-11. But as I'm going through my documents, I'm just having a hard time finding where that parcel is. Is there a map or something that I'm missing that shows that parcel that's been requested for mitigation? I have a better idea.
If we can go back to my location map. So it's the parcel that is, if you see the parcel, it says rec. That's the Van Sickle State Park entrance, and the parcel just south of that, sandwiched between the amendment area and the Van Sickle State Park. That's the parcel that they're requesting the mitigation measures on, which is not included in, amendment. It was at one time, but has been taken out due to concerns raised by the CTC and the League to Save Lake Tahoe.
I have a question. I'm sorry, John. I'm looking at the map on page 109 of our packet. I think Jim was asking about 011, which is part of the area that's being considered for development. Aren't we talking about 003, which is the parcel immediately adjacent to Van Sickle Park?
Yes, that's
how
I understood it.
Thank you. That helps. But in his bullets, it said 441-11. So I was getting all confused. I wanted to make sure that I was solid on the facts. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I have a question. I'm new to this and don't know the site all that well. But to me, when I look at it and knowing the little bit I know about that area, it's probably the most walkable, transit-served area, even served by gondola to the resort. I'm wondering why it's been limited to 4 units to the acre when, to me, I would think this would be an area that we would want to put more people to keep them from going to less transit-served walkable areas. So if you could just tell about the reasoning for that.
Yeah, I can answer that. I think it was the applicant's response to the comments and concerns that we received from the California Tahoe Conservancy, who were concerned with a change in the recreation character of this area, and so the applicant put forward a change in his project description to reduce the number of units down to a maximum of 10 units, which comes out to approximately a little under 4 units per acre. And if you look at the area that is developable, it's a very small portion. So if you look at the density as it relates to just the project area, then it would be higher than 4 units an acre. The way that we calculate density, we actually use the whole project area. If you calculate the density at just the area that's being developed, then that density would be higher than 4 units an acre. But I do agree with you that, this is in close proximity to services, trails, and recreation opportunities. And from a development standpoint, it makes sense to develop housing or tourist type accommodation uses in this area. But this amendment would limit just to potentially residential uses. I hope that answered your question.
Shelley, go ahead.
Come on, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was just going to follow up on Vince.
Okay, please, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Shelley. I had the same thought as Vince did that, you know, have it being location to kind of an urban core area and a recreation area, thinking about the density. John or Jennifer, I thought I heard you during the presentation say the current zoning of recreation allows for employee housing. What would the density be if it stayed employee housing as opposed to switching over to this residential?
Let me look that up for you real quickly. I believe it's 25.
It's actually, so if employee housing were allowed as zoned today for recreation, it'd be 15 units per acre. Sure. As we've talked about, there are significant site constraints. And so realistically, we wouldn't see 15 units an acre, but that was what it's zoned today as.
Terrific. Thank you.
Bill, may I?
Yes, Shelley.
Thank you. Okay, I guess a question. My first question is for John Marshall regarding the letter that was sent by the League of Disabled Lake Tahoe regarding the transfer of TAUs to the Boulder Bay project. Now, that permit has expired, right? So that transfer is no longer binding? Has that transfer been made?
The permit has been acted upon.
It has been acted upon. They've been making substantial progress, so it's still active.
I think they've already transferred the units.
So these units, where are the units coming from to facilitate this project? They're being transferred from a different source.
Yes, being, and Lou can answer that question, but I think they're being transferred in.
They're being transferred in.
That is actually, so that's incorrect. As we've kind of we've alluded to the history of this site. Let me give a little bit more context there for those that may be more familiar or maybe more new to either this area in South Shore or to this actual site. It has a long history. In the past, it was an old motel complex called the Colony Inn. That was demolished, and all of the development rights, the tourist accommodation units, and the coverage were banked on site. As part of that banking, the SEZ was required to be restored. Again, about roughly 50% of this area is a stream environment zone. So that did require restoration. So the development rights and the coverage were banked on site. Some of those development rights have been transferred off the site, not all. And so the proposed project is actually using development rights that are already banked on site. So no new development rights can be transferred onto this property because of the past demolition, banking, and transfer activity. So they're using what's already there today.
Okay, that's helpful, Jen. Thank you. So I have, I think I read in the material here that these units are going to be used as for VHRs. And I thought to myself, well, this is a good location for VHRs. I mean, we want to get those short-term rentals out of our neighborhoods, right, and into areas that are more
They would qualify for, if a project were to move forward and they do as residential condominiums, and after the subdivision process is completed, the applicant does have a choice to apply for a vacation home rental permit. I'd like to expand on Jennifer's earlier response on the Colony Inn site. So the portion that is being rezoned was not part of the Colony Inn site. It was its own separate parcel that didn't have any development on it. And so it wasn't part of the requirements of the Colony Inn for deed restricting it to its natural state as a result of the transfers.
So, John, what parcel number would that be?
It used to be parcel 029240011, which has now been merged into parcel 029441024.
Okay, so it's the front parcel or the back parcel.
It's the back parcel that has been merged. And so that was not part of the colony. I do believe it was not part of the Colony Inn site.
Okay. It was original parcel 004 that was the Colony Inn site.
That is correct. Okay. Yes.
So I guess that was my question. These are, I'm assuming these are duplex units that are being proposed?
They're detached, single family.
Detached single family. Okay.
Yeah. So they're proposing a total of, if we get into the project discussion, they're proposing a total of 10. So it would be a, 6 additional units on the back parcel.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, not back parcel, the back portion of the parcel.
So the applicant, if this project moves forward, then basically has the option of either using these for rentals, which in my mind would be appropriate given the location and the density of the development in the area, or selling them as single family homes, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Which could be then used for VHR.
That is correct. They're located in the tourist core. Condominiums are allowed to apply for a VHR permit, provided they meet all the requirements of the VHR site inspection in the tourist core area plan.
Any more questions? Jen, if you could explain to me, one of the concerns I had when I first read this, and before we talked about it, is the process is one in which this is coming to RPIC, and if it was to be for some kind of action. And I understand that there's a project and there's this land use amendments, but the reality is once those changes are made to become part of TCAP as amended, then as far as the implementation of our regional plan and the impacts on things like the SEC, we'll never come back to RPIC. And the way the process was set up is that RPIC will see it, and then it'll continue on or go to the Planning Commission and then go forth. And then it would then go to APC, and then it would go to the Governing Board. My preference, and I think the way that RPIC has been used, at least since I've been on this committee and when Clem Shute was chair, was that RPIC would be the final place that these kind of things get worked out. And then you go to the Governing Board. So we would have it all together. Not unlike a lot of other controversial projects we've had where we try to get everybody to kind of agree and work out the differences, and then you bring it to the Governing Board. And that's my preference. I don't think this is quite ready. Because of the issues raised by the league and the conservancy, recognizing that's about a project, but nonetheless, if we make these decisions, then we may never know whether these things get worked out. Some of the mitigation measures that John Hitchcock said that the applicant may be willing to do. So that's why I felt that this was a good one to get started, but then we see how, the parties, get further along in trying to work out some of the issues here so that it would be presented back to RPIC so that we would understand how it's going to be implemented. And then we would have something to recommend to the Governing Board. So that's, maybe a procedural issue, but it's, to me, it's a jurisdictional issue. I don't feel that, I know that we have more public comments to come in, but that was my biggest concern, and still is, that this matter, I don't feel comfortable making a recommendation to the full board. Yes.
I agree with you. I would like to, to have all of these issues discussed and resolved. Because obviously TRP is an important player in this process. And also, Jen, this is not a criticism of you, but I noticed that you kind of qualified in your presentation that the land use amendment appears to be in conformance with the TRP's regional plan. Is there a reason why you hesitated? I mean, are there concerns that you were communicating from staff by using the word appears as opposed to something more definitive?
Thank you for that question, Shelley. I was not. There is not an underlying intention there with that use of the word. It's really just presenting that staff has reviewed the materials in this packet, including the initial environmental checklist, the findings, area plan conformance. And staff has found that the amendment package, the land use designation and the change there is in conformance with the regional plan. Ultimately, it is the responsibility and role of RPIC and APC to make those findings as well. And so I didn't want to be too leading as far as the decision and the review of this body today.
Okay, thank you, Jen.
Just a second. Jim had another question.
And thanks, Mr. Chair. I appreciate third bite at the apple here. So, I was kind of, I am really interested in public comment and then what folks have to say, but since we kind of opened up the discussion about whether we're ready to vote or maybe this isn't quite ripe yet for a decision by RPIC, I'm in the camp of this isn't really quite ripe. I do have concerns, and I'll just be forthright about that. I take seriously the comments from the CTC and our Nevada Division of State Parks. They manage Van Sickle. They are concerned about some of the encroachment that's been happening kind of to the east of the road there. I mean, it was a few years ago, maybe several years ago now, where those other sort of high-end residential parcels were developed right up against the park. And I know it's causing concerns, and I don't think those have been worked out yet. I'm concerned about those issues. The other is, Bill, one of the gifts that you gave me when you became chair of the TRPA board is you put me on the local government and affordable housing committee as an ex officio state. And I certainly question that being a natural resource guy. I don't know anything about affordable housing, but I learned a lot. And what I have learned is that it is a dire need for employee housing and affordable housing, and we're losing our opportunities. There's concerns that, we're going to run out of opportunities regarding land or allocations or whatever. And I would like some more thought into how does this actually help us conform to the regional plan when we're talking about trying to get more affordable housing in urban areas so people can walk to their work? Now, this looks like a really great location for employee housing in my mind. Now, maybe there's a lot of site constraints that make that unfeasible, but I'm interested in that moving forward. Like I said, I don't think this is ripe, and I think that should be part of the discussion. So thank you.
Appreciate that. John Friedrich, I'm sorry, I ignored you because I don't have the virtual meeting on my computer. And so Cindy pointed out that you have a comment.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, John. Thank you. Sorry.
Whoops, let me, Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I hope.
Okay. Sorry, I just turned the video off. I just want to concur with those recent comments that this is not ripe for decision. In line with following up on Jim's comments related to land use trade-offs, I would want to bring the more considered views of city council and staff to my recommendation as an RPIC member. That's not slated to happen until October. I would not be prepared to make a recommendation in advance of a larger input from the city of South Lake Tahoe. In part in consideration of the sorts of issues that have been raised about affordable housing versus vacation rentals, recreation or vacation rentals. It may or may not be a land use that the city as a whole supports, and I'm just not prepared to take that position in advance of that larger discussion.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your perspective, unique perspective on this issue, and that's very helpful. Thank you. John Hester.
Mr. Chair, it might help early on after the regional plan updates in 2012, and we were doing the first area plans. We had a situation like this, not South Lake Tahoe, but I'll just say a county in the on the Nevada side to the northern part of the lake, without naming one, had a situation where they were trying to decide whether to do two or three units on a property, and it was an area plan amendment, and they had not decided at the local level whether they wanted to do that. And the chair of the RPIC at the time, Clem Schutz, said, gave us direction, and we probably should codify that or something, that we should not have projects come to RPIC before the local government has made the decision. Otherwise, you put everybody in this loop of the local government planning commission and governing body making a decision, comes back to RPIC, who may say, well, we don't like that. And then it goes back to the process. So we've tried to make it sequential, that there's an RPIC meeting for information purposes and to raise issues, which is essentially what you're doing today. Then it goes through the local process, comes back to our APC, RPIC, and governing board for conformance. So I don't think you're out of line probably with precedent, and probably we need to codify that or something, put it in rules of procedure or wherever we need to, so we're clear that that's the sequence from here on.
Thank you, John. When I read that, I felt Clem. So, so any other?
Yeah.
Cindy. Oh, Cindy, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was going to hit you if you didn't record that.
She's got a gavel.
Yeah. I didn't want to weigh in particularly, other than on the CTC issues and League's letter on the access to Van Sickle by State Park. But I would like to hear from the public before I weigh in further, and the applicant in particular, to see if there's some circumstances here that I'm not clear about. So I'll just reserve my comments till after we hear from you.
Thanks. Understood. Okay. I think we're ready for public comment. Maria, should we start with virtual and then to the, if that's all right with you, Lou? Okay.
Mr. Chair, we'll give it a moment to see if anybody would like to raise their hand on the virtual side to make a public comment. And we have one so far. Gavin, go ahead.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks. I'm Gavin Feiger on behalf of the League to Save Lake Tahoe. So, you know, great discussion you guys have been having. Really appreciate the thoughtfulness and considering the process. Coming back to RPIC after it's gone through the local jurisdiction is probably the best process. You know, this project envisioned for the zoning change, the project itself, you know, it might be the kind of development that our complicated systems allow, and there is market demand for it, but there's not necessarily demand from the community for this type of project. And nor is it the kind of project that's envisioned in the vast majority of goals and policies in planning documents from the area plan level to the regional plan level. The project, in fact, if it's allowed by the zoning change, is in direct conflict with a lot of goals and policies in the RPU and the area plan. The letter we submitted yesterday is more detailed, and hopefully you had a chance to read it and ruminate a bit. But in case not, I think it's been summarized. You know, the league would consider not opposing the project. You know, we don't like the rezoning of the small recreation piece behind the Colony Inn, but you know, because the Colony Inn site was never actually retired and is developable, we can see that going forward. But we really do want to see that corner lot, the adjacent lot that was pulled out of the proposal after scoping, permanently retired or permanently restricted to affordable housing with some kind of deed restriction running with the land. Hopefully I believe there's a mechanism that can be found to make that happen. And through APC and the city and back to RPIC, I think we can find a mechanism for that. And in addition to the issues explained in our letter, and this was coming up in the committee discussion too, just want to point out that this is not a multifamily residential development proposal. You know, this is a short-term rental proposal. There's currently almost no residential in the tourist core, not in the whole tourist core area plan, but in the actual core where a large number of our residents work. If there's going to be any kind of residential development, it actually needs the actual residences, not short-term rentals. So as always, we're open and willing to chat with the project proponents. We've reached out and you know, look forward to a project that's aligned and approved, aligned with approved regional plan goals, and also ensuring there's little or no impact on our lake. So looking forward to the continued discussion, and feel free to reach out to us anytime, of course. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Gavin. Yes, we did receive your most recent letter. Thank you. Any other public comments on the virtual side?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised for public comment.
Thank you very much. Lou, as the applicant's rep, I'll let you speak to the project and maybe some of the comments and questions and concerns you've heard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, Lou Feldman on behalf of HVR.
I think at a courtesy to the applicant, I think at least 5 minutes for rather than a 3 minute thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HVR Acquisitions is a local family, the Wishmeyer family, who have had some success with vacation rentals in this market and acquired the site several years ago. And as noted, the application came in 2019, and here we are midway through 2022, slugging away. With that said, the comments that have been forthcoming from the League and the CTC, we quite frankly thought we had accommodated, because when the amendment was initiated, the parcel 003 was part of the quest to rezone. There was opposition expressed to that by the League and the AG, by the League and the CTC, which is why it was deleted from the application. So what we're talking about now is 1.27 acres of a 3.79 acre single parcel that has split zoning. And we're really talking about 60,000 square feet that is part of a parcel that is already going to be developed with multifamily condominiumized into single family VHRs. So is it 4 units or is it 10 units? That's really the magnitude of this conversation. The 2.5 acres that are already properly zoned are subject to density of 25 units per acre for residential. That's not what's being proposed. This is, again, an accommodation to have a very modest development within this area adjacent to recreation, but also uniquely sited to accommodate foot traffic, multimodal transportation to Heavenly Village, the mountain, walking distance to Lakeside Beach, to all the walking and shopping. So it's really an ideal location for a community that has severely limited a desirable form of tourist visitation, VHRs, and no better place for a VHR than here. So I appreciate the comments, regret that our capitulation, where we're down to 4 units per acre instead of 25 units per acre, where we've eliminated most of the property that was within the original rezone application, and our willingness to fence off this area with a wrought iron fence. And if you've been out there, you will see that there are a variety of volunteer trails and public use that has degraded what was a TRPA approved SEZ restoration that TRPA released the security on because they concluded that that restoration was complete. This owner didn't do the restoration. This owner didn't sign up to do restoration, but this owner is enthusiastic about trying to do what this owner can do within reason to enhance the SEZ, protect the SEZ, and collaborate with TRPA, the League, and others on any opportunity to further restore the SEZ. So we are a team player. I have abandoned any hope of progress today other than to have this informational conversation. Appreciate the comments and welcome any questions that you may have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Steve Dolan. I'm not here to comment on this, but since I'm here and you're talking about SEZs, I guess you probably recognize me from my enthusiasm to protect SEZs over the past 30 years. It does appear that many of the larger organizations that are analyzing this disagree with it becoming a housing project, even though all of the qualifications for being close to businesses, et cetera, make it enhancing. It's an adjacency to an SEZ, including the SEZ with the layout, is something that TRPA has consistently ignored and or bent the rules regarding SEZs. For instance, we have a house 20 feet from the stream at Eagle in Incline Village that was recently finished and authorized by TRPA. And it's an incredibly flat, perfect SEZ without the house. The other is the bending of the SEZ zone at the bike park in Incline Village, where instead of it being around 30 feet, it became 12. And that was based on the size of one tree. So TRPA, I'm hoping, and I'm going to suggest later, take a more active vigilance and respect for the SEZs around the lake. They're incredibly important. They're really the only thing that can consistently clean, feed, and nourish a lake that's drawing all these people and all this business that TRPA seems to encourage. So I'd just like to say that since this is such an SEZ sensitive zone, I don't think mitigating it with a fence is appropriate. I think protecting it at all costs, no matter what, including an adjacent housing that might be easy for workforce housing, et cetera. And the worst thing you could put there would be short-term rentals. We all know that that increases the impact by a large number. It's not 10 houses or 5 units. It's, you know, it's 50 people a week, all different, not respecting SEZs. So I thank you for considering this.
Thank you. Yes.
Good morning, Chair, members of the board. My name is Kevin Pryor. I am the Director of Lands with the Tahoe Conservancy, and I wanted to just provide a few comments this morning. First of all, I'd like to thank the city and John Hitchcock and Jennifer Self and the developer with all the work that they have done to date to accommodate our concerns around Van Sickle and the SEZ. It's been a good working relationship, and we remain at the table to try to work out some of these additional things. I do want to reiterate that we are seeking additional mitigation measures to help offset the impacts of the cumulative impacts of this proposed development to Van Sickle State Park. We see the ability to keep the corner parcel deed restricted as open space as a definite solution to some of our concerns. We also feel that there's other options here. The Conservancy, as a land owner and acquisitioner of parcels in the basin, are very interested in owning that parcel. As you know, we have an access easement. Our entrance to Van Sickle State Park goes over the corner parcel, and we would very much like to own the parcel outright. We also continue to invest heavily in Van Sickle State Park. We are working with the Nevada Division of State Parks right now on proposals upwards of $11 million in improvements, both on the California and Nevada side, and we do remain concerned that the encroachments and future potential projects, even in a recreational zoning area, could impact negatively on our proposed improvements to the park. So I just, again, I want to thank John and Jennifer and Lou and everything that they're doing. And we remain at the table and are interested in further working out our issues. Thanks.
Thank you. And yesterday, we have a question from Shelley for you.
You know, it appears to me, I didn't realize that the restoration of the stream environment zone had been completed, apparently to the satisfaction of TRPA at one time, and it's been degraded because of trespassing. And I think to address the gentleman's comment who was preceded you, you know, I think a fence will help to, as a buffer, to protect the stream environment zone from further encroachment. You know, I mean, I suppose in an ideal world, we would want the property, you know, fully restored but this is always going to be a challenge because unfortunately people are not terribly respectful, not respectful of private property rights. They're also not respectful of environmentally sensitive areas. So I think taking a collaborative approach is appropriate, but I guess the challenge to the CTC is maybe finding some money to help with the restoration of the stream. Because I don't know that burden should fall, you know, completely on the shoulders of the current owner, because it was previously improved and it was degraded. So we need to do whatever is necessary to protect it from further degradation. But I think I think all parties need to come to the table and find a way of doing that rather than making that a condition of a permit that the SEC be fully restored by the property owner. That's just my commentary on the record. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't know if you want to respond, Kevin, to that.
I'll say, you know, public-private partnerships for environmental gain are something that definitely the Conservancy values and would be interested in discussing further. We do invest a lot in SEZ restoration, and we would be willing to talk further with through our board and with the applicant about what we may or may not be able to do with our resources at the Conservancy to help with that.
Well, and maybe it would include a conservation easement for that SEZ in favor of the CTC.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming. Any other hands raised here? Okay, I think I'll now close public comment and bring it back to the committee members for any further comments. Cindy.
I had a question for Lou, if I could, for the applicant. In the discussion, both from the CTC and the league, there was a you know, concern that the parcel had originally been part of the proposed package. You've withdrawn it. And of course, what lives with that is the legacy of concern of what happens next. If you're not willing to deed restrict it or sell it to the Conservancy, you know, the future. And I think that's part of what's circulating here, if I'm understanding the dynamics correctly. Is there a reluctance on the applicant? I mean, you know, if you're leaving it in the recreation zoning, is there a willingness to discuss further opportunities as we look at changing our plan area to the property owner, making some changes as well?
Thanks for that question, Cindy. That parcel is currently zoned recreation and has restricted uses. And the, you know, ownership has had conversations. I mean, I guess, you know, this is obvious to all of us in the room here. There's kind of a full court press mm-hmm. by the CTC to acquire this parcel. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure this is the right mechanism to advance that undertaking. We thought that taking it out of the rezone and leaving it as recreation was the pound of flesh, the half a loaf, or whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it. There isn't any current interest by ownership in liquidating that parcel.
Okay. Fair enough. I just thought I'd, you know, put it out there because that was seemed to be what all the discussion was about and the concern that a future proposal may come forward that isn't recreation oriented and requests another change. So just, I think that's what we're hearing are the concerns. So, yeah. Thank you, Lou.
Any others? Shelley? Vince? Okay, well, do we need a motion to defer or we just leave it?
You can do either. Quite honestly, I'd prefer if you made a motion, we had a distinct action to continue this item until it's been heard by the city council or wherever, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I really want to emphasize, I would really like the parties that have spoken to try to get together. I've always respected Lou in working with his clients that he tries his best to balance his clients' interests versus the obvious overall goals here for Lake Tahoe and other things. So I do appreciate that, Lou. I just think this is a, we can maybe get closer. I would, the idea of having a public partner relationship on the question of the SEC would be ideal. I mean, somewhere the ball got dropped here about the restoration of this SEC because it didn't happen. I don't know exactly what. Some people say that it's because trespass or other things. Some people say it's just simply because of the drainage changed. So I don't know. But I think that there is something more that needs to be done here. So I motion for my colleagues.
Yeah, I do have a question for either Don Marshall or John Hester. I'm looking at the tentative hearing schedule. The next body to hear this item will be the APC. Do you intend to move forward with that, with their review?
No, I think what we would do is
postpone it.
Wait for the city to act.
The city council, okay. That would be the city planning commission and the city council?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to delay action on this item until the South Lake Tahoe City Planning Commission and the South Lake Tahoe City Council have taken action.
Thank you. Any comments? From anyone, John, Friedrich, do you have any comments about that motion? No, I don't see anything. Okay. Want to call the roll?
Yes, please.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Friedrich? Mr. Friedrich, if you're frozen there, I'll circle back. Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
And Mr. Friedrich?
How about a thumbs up from John?
He may have dropped off. Mr. Chair?
It's coming on.
Yes. Yeah, I vote yes. I'm sorry. It was just frozen.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you, Maria. So now we move to the, and thank you, everybody, for your comments and for the way we've resolved this matter today. And we will have, we'll move to item number four, any committee member comments on other issues. Seeing none. So we move to item number five, our final public interest comment period. Anybody in the virtual world have any comments to the RPIC committee? That matters not on the agenda.
Mr. Chair, there are no hands raised to make public comment.
Anybody in the audience? I don't see any. Okay, close the public comment period. Is there then a motion to adjourn? Okay, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.